Good morning. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We want to continue to wait on him and allow him to minister to our lives. We have come a long way understanding the power and the dynamics of a fellowship, a biblical fellowship, a godly fellowship. John, the apostle, the last of the 12 apostles, came to give a defense of what fellowship is all about. Jesus began very powerful fellowship when he came and let all the people know that we could have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, and we could have fellowship with one another. And the church began very strongly during the time of Peter. But even before all the disciples were gone, were dead, there rose some people who were called Antichrists, who challenged the reality of having godly fellowship with God, because they said God could not have come in the body form. They refuse and reject the doctrine of incarnation, the doctrine of God or the Word becoming flesh, the doctrine that we call in Emmanuel, God together with us. They refuse that. They say that the body is evil. And so they give the body to immorality and to other lifestyles that are not biblical. So John came to write and tell them it's possible to have fellowship with God, because I know, I'm an eyewitness. God came in human flesh. I saw Jesus. I touched him, or we touched him. We were with him, we ate with him, we heard him with our ears, we touched him with our hands, we were together, we fellowshipped one on one. So I'm an eyewitness. And he encouraged the people not to follow that heresy or that doctrine of poison that could poison people's thing together. So in chapter 4, in chapter 3 of 1 John, John is now giving four pillars or four attributes of a godly or a holy fellowship, that supports this fellowship. Yesterday, we began by looking at two of those pillars that makes the fellowship stable. And one of it, we said, is that we must purify ourselves just as he is pure. That's the first one. The fellowship must take the position of purifying themselves all the days of their lives. It is not by our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. We purify ourselves because we know Christ came to deal with sin, and he dealt with sin, and he died, he deselected, he ascended, and he is coming. And because he is coming, as we wait for him, we need to purify ourselves just as he is pure. That's number one. Number two, we also discovered that we need to remain right, or to walk right with God. We need to stand right with God. It's called righteous living. Righteous living is maintaining our position. Every believer have got their position, and their position is that they are children of God. We are righteous not because of what we have done, but we are righteous because of acknowledging what God has done. It's not about trying to get clothes for ourselves because we are naked, but it is trusting him who slaughtered an animal, who slaughtered himself for us. You see, it's like when Adam and Eve sinned, they ran away and they tried to look for their own righteousness. They try to make their own garments. That is called self-righteousness. But God came much later and looked for them and slaughtered an animal, shed the blood for them, and covered their nakedness. That's what we acknowledge as our position. That's the position of the right standing. We stand right with God, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done to do away with sin and its effect. The effects of sin are shame. The effects of sin is guilt. The effect of sin is fear. The effect of sin is low self-esteem. The effect of sin is the mentality of poverty. So this is what you're saying. We need to know our right standing. Now today, I want us to look at the last two qualities of a godly and biblical fellowship, which are maintaining brotherhood, or making sure that brotherhood is maintained, and number four is maintaining our confident connection with the Father, making sure that we are forever connected with the Father. These are the last two that we want to deal with. Let's go back to chapter 4:3, verse 1. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You see, he's saying the Father has lavished love on us. You know, the meaning of to lavish is giving without measure. Father has poured love on us that we be called children of God. Because of that, then, we should make sure that we remain in the love that has been poured. I see a picture of a father who gives love as a sea, or as a pool of water where we can be able to dwell in. So we are told, for the fellowship to remain, let us remain in that pool of love. If the Father has lavished love on us so that we should be called children of God, then the children of God should maintain what we call brotherly love. Brotherly love is not just any other love. It's the love that we give to each other because we know that we are connected. We know that we belong to the family. This is not just the love. This is not the love of the world. I know we're not supposed to love the world just to, you know, to conform to the world, but there's a way you can love the world to go and save them. Like Jesus said, he came, for God so loved the world. God did not love the evil in the world, because that love of God of the world is the one for, you know, for having pity on them and willing to give in for them. But here we are talking about love among brothers. Look at verse 11. They say, for this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We should love one another. Love is the glue that connects us. Love is the stick glue. That glue should not be broken at any one time. That love is what we should love one another. And we had this from the beginning. It was poured on us. It was lavished on us. Let's not allow it to dry up. Now, then they say, he gave two examples of love here. One bad example and one good example. He said, do not be like Cain. This is now the bad example of brotherly love, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own action were evil and his brothers were righteous. So Cain was jealousy of the action of his brother, of the worship action of his brother. His brother gave himself to God, to worship God. And his brother Cain organized to kill his brother, and he killed him. This is not brotherly love. This is the extreme of evil. of brotherly love. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. You know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Now, you see, we have got now the bad example of brotherly love. And hating our brother, Jesus says that this is equal to murder. Just like the way Cain killed or murdered his brother, today, if we hate our brother, if we don't have brotherly love, that is murder. But let's look at the best example of brotherly love, which is for Jesus. This is how we know what love is. Now we know, we have been told what is love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, this is the example that we are being given of brotherly love. If anyone has material, this is now an example of brotherly love. If anyone has material possession and sees his brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Now, that's what we are talking about. That is the pillar or quality of having biblical fellowship, biblical Holy Communion. The last one we want to look at is how we can remain connected to the Father. The name Father means source. The way we remain, you know, fixed to the source. You know, we are only here on earth because we are vessels. The reason to why we are connected with each other is that we may be able to be a blessing to the world and be a blessing to one another, but only through the fellowship. When the fellowship come together, the unity, how good and it is when brothers live together in unity. Now, we should be connected to the Father. Look at what this person says. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, connected to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. We are connected to the truth. We are connected to the Father, who is the truth. We are connected in his presence. We rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, that is, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and we know everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. This is the confidence we are talking about, and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in his name, the name of his son, Jesus, and to love one another as he commanded us. Now the one who keeps his command lives in him and he in them. You see that connection? We live in God's command and the God's command lives in us. That is the connection. That's the confidence connection. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. You know, we are being told that we need to have confident connection with the Father, with the truth, with his presence, and we can only do this through the power of the Spirit that he gave us. The Spirit of God that was given to us was given so that we may remain connected until he comes. We remain connected. It's a command to his love. We are connected. We believe in him. So what is connection? Connection to the source means that we are supposed to be people who are giving God's provisions. We are supposed to allow people to have what our Father is. We are conduits. We are conductors here on earth. So let's remain connected so that the blessings of our Father would flow to the rest of the world. So we come to an end of chapter number 3 of the first letter of John 3. And we have understood four main qualities, biblical qualities, that keeps a holy communion, that keeps a fellowship intact here on earth. When others have left the fellowship, those who remain are glued together, are put together, all have these qualities, and we can know them. Number one, we said we must continue to purify ourselves just as he is pure. But two, must continue to remain in your position of right living. That is understanding what Christ has done for us. And we are there not because of our strength, but we are there because he is the one who purchased our freedom. He purchased our redemption. Number three, you're supposed to maintain and in that glue of love, brotherly love, not being like Cain and not loving with the words alone or with lips, but we love with action. When one of our own is not clothed, we clothe them. That's what brotherly love is. And this is what Christ did, that he gave himself, he laid his life for us. And he says we should love, we should lay our lives for others, this brotherly love. Number four, we should always remain connected to the Spirit of God. We connected to the Father through the Spirit of God. We connected to the Son through the Spirit of God. We connected to the truth. We connect to his commands. We connected to his presence, so that he also remained connected with us. We will not be pulled at any one time because our anchor is in heaven. God help us. We ask that you may help us to develop those qualities here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.